There's something that makes a passage from Scripture just a little more precious when we have our young people reading it. Thank you, Tyra. What a wonderful passage. I want to start this morning with an observation. All of us, every single one that's in this room today, is driven in some way by their desires. James puts it this way. This is chapter 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you, says James? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. I think that this is a very profound diagnosis of the human condition. We have all kinds of problems, like quarrels and fights, says the Apostle James, but those are really symptoms of a deeper problem. And the deeper problem is our desires. There are times when our desires lead us down the wrong road. Whether we know it or not, we sometimes distinguish people between feeler and thinkers. Are you familiar with that? Those of you that have maybe taken the Myers-Briggs, you know that distinguished type. Some of you know that maybe you're a thinker type, and some of you might know that you're a feeler type. Neither style is better than the other. Some of us are feelers. How many of you are feelers? Have you taken the test? A few of you? Yeah. Some of you are feelers. We're more expressive. We're very in touch with our emotions. We're very passionate about things. And some of you are thinkers. How many of you are thinkers? Yeah, we've got a few of you that are thinkers. You know, you're more thoughtful about life. You're more cerebral, more rational, more analytical. Choices that you make in life have to make good sense. But the reality is that thoughts and feelings in our human experience go together. No one has ever thought of anything without having a little emotional charge attached to it. We've talked about that. Nobody, not even the most out on the edge feeling person, has ever had a feeling that doesn't have a little cognitive element attached to it, a thought. The reality is thoughts and feelings always go together. Part of what it means to be human is that we are constantly drawn into and energized by certain activities. Maybe one comes to mind when I talk about an energizing activity for you. There are sensations, there are certain relationships with people. That's the feeling component in our lives. And those feelings are what give us a sense of being alive, right? Feelings are power. Feelings are energy. Without them, we'd have no interest in anything. We'd have no drive. We'd have no motivation. And in fact, people who understand depression, I know we have a clinician in the house, she would vouch for this, they say that the deepest form of depression is not really sadness. It's not just painful feelings. The deepest form of depression is emotional deadness. When people experience emotional deadness in their lives, they become desperate. We've talked a lot in this series about thoughts. And this business of feelings, I want to say this morning at the outset, this business of feelings is absolutely fundamental to our spiritual life. Let's read a passage, if you'd like. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Some of you know this by heart. The writer of Proverbs says, "A joyful heart, sensations of aliveness, optimism, happiness." He says a joyful heart is what? It's good medicine. Have you heard that phrase before? It's life, says the writer of the Proverbs. But a broken spirit, on the other hand, which is internal deadness, dries up the bones. That's a very vivid picture, isn't it? It's unforgettable. When someone gets dead inside, it's literally like their bones have dried up. There are statements about the importance of emotions, healthy emotions, all throughout Scripture. Emotions grow unhealthy, though, when I demand to gratify some particular type of feeling, even if it becomes damaging, dishonors God, hurts myself, or hurts someone that I love. What I want to do this morning is I want to walk through desire management. That's an interesting term. I want to talk to you about how desires can lead you either to good or to evil. And I want to start by saying this. Your desire in itself is neutral. It's not necessarily good or evil. It's like the raw material that we work with. For those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, to whom the flow of the Holy Spirit, these rivers of living water have been promised, part of what I want to point out this morning is there is a way, listen now, there is a way in which it's harder to walk down the wrong path than it is to walk down the right path. Now, for some of you, that may sound counterintuitive. You say, that's completely different than my own experience. But let me explain. We often disguise a lot of effort that it takes, but the reality is there are a lot of steps that we must take to get on the wrong path. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about a few of those steps. If you have your bulletin, there's a little place in there for some notes. I encourage you to take some notes this morning. We're going to talk about the steps you must take to get on the wrong path, as well as the steps that we take to stay on the right path. Step number one, this is the wrong path. Maybe the most important thing that I'm going to say this morning. And I guarantee you, if you walk down the wrong road, you will start with this step. This is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. The first one is expressed in a single word. It's the word quench. You will quench the spirit when you start down the wrong path. Remember the statement Paul says to the church in Thessalonica. He says, do not quench God's Spirit. It works like this. Anytime you have a desire or an emotion, if the Spirit is working in you, the Spirit is in those living waters that are flowing up within you, is going to prompt you to do certain things. The gentleness of the Spirit will prompt you to lay that desire before Jesus and to ask the question, Lord, what do you want me to do with this desire? And Jesus will never, ever lead you to express or manage your desire in an unhealthy, destructive, or harmful way. He never will. So if you want to walk down the wrong road, the very first thing that you must do, this sounds a little counterintuitive as well, is you've got to quench the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. Quenching the Spirit means that you've got to make sure that you never get wisdom from a wise friend, that you never listen to a message by Pastor Randy, you never read a good book on the subject, and you connect the dots, you make the application to your own life. It means that you've got to make sure that you don't pray about this particular desire in a submitted spirit. You've got to make sure that you don't talk about this desire, this sense of vulnerability with good friends through whom the Spirit might work on your mind and your heart. You've got to make sure that you avoid those particular scripture passages that deal with the issue. You know, when your eyes come across this particular passage, it means that you skim over it quickly without making contact. Over and over and over again, before you go down this particular wrong path, you've got to make space in your mind and in your heart to be able to sin. The Bible writers say you must quench the spirit which is within you. A huge part of what you've got to do to not walk down the wrong path with a sinful desire is to keep yourself open to the voice and the promptings of God's Spirit. And so Paul says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Continually say in any particular struggle that you're having, Holy Spirit, in this area, this desire, would you speak to me about this? So the first step to start walking down the wrong road is we quench the Holy Spirit's voice. The next step, step two. The next step down the wrong road of desire is you go into, remember the story Jewel said this morning? We go into the wrong kind of hiding. You remember the first thing Adam and Eve did after they sinned. It's very much what Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 20. He says, everyone who does evil hates the light, right? It hates, that person hates to be seen, to be known. Everyone who does evil hates the light. And then Jesus says, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds might be exposed. You see, this is instinctive. This is an inevitable response to anyone who knows that they're doing something wrong. They avoid the light. It starts real early. I remember my mom had a cookie jar in our kitchen when we boys were growing up. I can still picture it in my mind. It was a laughing pig. But my mom would always do the same thing with this cookie jar. She alone was allowed to dole out the cookies to her boys, well, and also to my dad, as long as we were well behaved. But we kids could not get into the cookie jar, into that singing pig. Well, my little brother had a particular strategy about getting cookies out of the cookie jar. When he wanted cookies real bad for himself, he would always do the same thing. When he was going for that cookie jar, he would close his eyes, and as he was making his way toward it, because he had this idea, you know, it happens developmentally at a certain stage in life. He had this idea, as long as his eyes were closed so that he couldn't see, no one else could see as well. And so he'd be stumbling around the kitchen with his eyes closed, looking for that cookie jar. And the irony of it is, it worked. My parents would watch him, and for some reason they thought it was so funny to see this adorable youngest boy stumbling around with his eyes closed. And they'd be laughing to themselves so hard that they wouldn't do anything about it. They'd let him go for the cookies just because they got a kick out of watching him. And part of it was because he was so darn cute. And of course, the youngest, he was the favorite. Well, I didn't think it was funny at all, because I could never get away with getting into the cookie jar. I would always get in trouble. The reality is, no matter how old we get, we kind of do the same thing. Again, we're talking about those of us who are followers of Jesus. We know that we serve a God who is all-knowing and all-present in our lives. But one of the reasons God does not make himself physically present on earth is to allow we human beings the freedom to pretend like we are all alone, right? And choose to walk down the wrong path. It's interesting that God will allow each of us to do that because he loves us so freely. He gives us the power to choose. So when you're walking down the wrong road, when you're at this stage, you will start to do little things that don't let other people close to you know about what's going on in your life. And you know it's wrong, but you don't talk about it with anyone. You don't pray about it because you keep walking down this road. And one of the things needed at this point is to go into hiding. You have to not let anyone know about it because you're just creating that space inside yourself. And at this point, we begin to cross lines that you know you shouldn't cross. A verse that talks about this is back in the early part of the Bible when Cain is getting real close to sinning and God intervenes. God knows if you do not do what is right, you start to cross those lines. How did he put it? Genesis 4, he says, Cain, if you do not do what is right, sin is, do you remember the word? Crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. At this point, when we're in hiding, we've quenched the Holy Spirit, we begin to make compromises in our life. Again, this could relate to all kinds of different desires in our life. But when you think about this desire, it's almost like these thoughts become three-dimensional and anything else in your life is two-dimensional, real flat, black and white thoughts without any powerful emotion attached to it. And it's because of what's going on inside of you right now with this particular desire. It's almost like your body has been wired up for you to be emotionally and physically dependent on these pleasurable feelings. It feels thrilling. And you have to keep making compromises a little farther than you did before. You have to make it real gradual because if you make a violation that is too sudden or severe, it could wake up your conscience and lead you to repentance. And you keep walking down this road and eventually you come to a door. And so often people walk through that door. And it's never what it looked like at the beginning. Again, we're talking about all kinds of desires that do damage to our lives. And what ultimately leads to, in a single word, here's the third step. It leads us to slavery. It leads us to slavery. We've lost our freedom. The scriptures are consistent about it. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. This is John 8:34. I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, I want to pause here, and I think this is an important pause for me as a pastor. I want to say to anybody in this room who has gone down that path that even that door will never remove you from the grace of Christ. God's grace can always reach you through that door. God's grace means that every moment of your life, at every instant, God's forgiveness is readily available. Do you believe that? When sin abounds, Paul says, grace does much more abound. So let me assure you this morning, you are never beyond God's love. You are never beyond God's grace or mercy. So please have hope. Do not despair. If you've cultivated the habit of living in hiding, you've got to come into the light. Come into the light. Let other people know what's going on in your lives. Find an accountability partner and openly confide in him or her. You may have had the habit for quite a while of quenching the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit and just say, okay, Holy Spirit, I want to open myself up again and listen to your promptings. You can always come back from the wrong road. That's the good news. The Savior is always knocking at the door of our hearts. For some of you, this may be about work. It's a desire that's leading you down the wrong road. You're making compromises with your family or your health. You're spending way too many hours in this thing called work. For some of you, it may be an approval addiction. You're living for that. If people don't give you approval, you'll do anything to make people happy with you. And the reality is that's what's governing your life. And it's going to be a very, very difficult thing for you to let go of.